listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
ClevelandBrowns.com is your most trusted source for Browns news, plus the latest photos and videos straight from the source. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com for everything Browns. That's ClevelandBrowns.com. Tomorrow, the media will be allowed in for the practice of the Cleveland Browns, the OTA tomorrow. I'm excited about that. We're going to break that down in great detail tomorrow here on the show as well. Vic, before we get to some tweets, Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I don't.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, I don't.
I wish you did. We could talk about it. The best show ever. You need to watch it.
I heard
good
things about it, but no, I'm not a Game of Thrones guy.
Are you just not into like that type of a period piece in general, or you just haven't gotten into it?
I just got many other things going on that I just can't take the time to do. I do choose selectively. If it makes the cut, then something else has to come off the list of what I can take the time.
Well, it's the best show on TV, so something else needs to come off the list.
By the way, just so you know,
HBO Go, you could play it while you're driving between here and Buffalo. I'm sure it's very safe to do so. Anyway, all right, we're gonna bring in our producer Jason Gibbs now. Some tweets from that Browns_daily account. Gibbs, what's up, bro?
Hey, guys, how are you? We've had a circus here of guys producing the show today. Sorry about that.
A three-ring circus.
Yeah, Matt at Akron. Last year, everyone seemed excited about Deion Lewis and disappointed when he was injured. No one talking about him this year.
You know, it's interesting with Deion Lewis because I think he was going to be called upon to play a very big role in the Norv Turner offense, mm-hmm. given how often they were going to throw the football. In the Kyle Shanahan offense, I'm not so sure how we're going to see him fit in here. He's used a guy, Roy Helu, in Washington as kind of a third down back the last couple of years. He can get 40 catches in that role. I'm just not sure how they feel about him here just yet. And you know, when you think about the fact that you've got tape, you've got West, Isaiah Crowell certainly is lurking. Deion Lewis is kind of a pass-catching specialist, and I just wonder how big of a role a pass-catching specialist back can have here. I hope they find a way to use him because, you know, last year, for example, Roy Helu, 31 catches, 251 yards for the Skins. In 2012, he had they didn't have anybody back with 20 or more catches. So it's not something that is typically leaned on by Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I don't see this as being good news for Deion's future with this offense. What the first quality they need to see is that one-cut ability, the patience in running, and that really isn't something he does. And he's also not the most – I mean, you know, when you look at the prototype of what they're looking for, look at Ben Tate, look at Terrence West – none of those guys looks like Lewis. So it'll be interesting to see if, in fact, he has a role. I'm going to be skeptical and say he probably doesn't. What else we got there?
Let's see. Johnny Stoggs. How much can the impact of losing Gordon be lessened by a strong running game?
Oh, it can be lessened somewhat. I don't know if I'm going to say significantly, but I think in terms of the approach, with or without Gordon, this team would try to have ball control offense and not lean as heavily on the passing game, certainly not put as much of the game on the arm of the quarterback as the previous offense did, which, of course, puts it on the hands of the receivers, too, by extension. But in terms of Gordon's absence, depending on how long or whatever it is, yeah, I think...
Or not at all.
Or not at all, maybe, the optimistic Nathan Zagura. But I think you're looking at a team that wants to... whatever it has in a passing game emanates from the running game. So that could help if you don't have that kind of talent in Gordon. It would help your next level people, your Miles Austins, whoever else is able to catch the ball, certainly Andrew Hawkins. And I think it's finding those moments when to make plays to get you're hoping if you're running the ball as well as you're running it, you're in favorable down and distance situations most of the time. That's something this football team almost never saw last year for sure. And I think that's, or in most recent years. But to have that happen, I think, is going to be the key to allowing them to overcome somewhat his absence, Gordon's absence. I think the biggest issue of all, though, is defense driving the engine, driving the train.
Right. This is going to need to be a top 10 defense, but really I think a top 6-7 defense, a dominant game-changing type of a defense, and they're going to have to run the football. Now, in 2012, which is the only year that Kyle Shanahan really has operated without a big-time, I would say, number one receiver, at least the last 2 years. He had Pierre Garçon in 2013, 2008, and 2009 in Houston, Andre Johnson. Now, in 2010, Santana Moss was still over 1,000 yards, so you can make the case that he was still good there. And, you know, that year with RG3 in his first year, the year that RG3 played so very, very well, the team ranked 30th in the NFL in pass attempts per game. Now, that's the only season in Kyle Shanahan's tenure that he hasn't ranked in the top 10 in pass attempts per game, but certainly noteworthy that there is a model out there where this team can be very run-oriented under Kyle Shanahan, and I would not be surprised if that were the case, that they are a run-heavy team. And you look at Carolina last year, no receiver over 750 yards. Seattle, no receiver over 900 yards. You go back to Mike Pettine's days with the New York Jets when they were going to back-to-back AFC championship games. They did not have a dominant wide receiver. They had no receiver to 900 yards in either of those two AFC championship years. So, yes, great defense and a good running game can mitigate the importance of not having that transcendent player like Josh Gordon. But you know what? You're a heck of a lot better when you do have that transcendent player like Josh Gordon. Makes everything easier. Makes it easier to run football. Makes it easier to hit big plays off of play action. He is a game changer and one of the very best in the NFL. And that's why I hope that he is not gone for long, if he is gone at all.
Doug Patterson tweeted at us earlier, do we know exactly how bad Hoyer's knee still is? And will this impede him from possibly winning any kind of quarterback competition?
I don't get the sense watching him move around in what he did previously and then seeing him out there today as well. I don't see a guy who looks like he's struggling to push off when he throws the football or set up and throw. He seems to move pretty well. Now, what you don't see are the full-out scrambles, the torquing that you got to have there to get away from pressure, and his ability to do that. And, again, he's not the best scrambler in the game, but he could be solid enough if his wheels are working right. But I don't see it as an impediment. I think he's going to be able to fully compete as much as he would be able to compete before the injury.
No question. And as you've heard Mike Pettine say, he's ready to go. They're just being cautious with it, not putting him around bodies in 11-on-11 drills. Although that may change. We'll get a sense of that tomorrow when the media is there for the OTA. But to me, Brian Hoyer's knee is not going to be the issue. If he doesn't win the competition, it won't be because of the knee. I think he's been ready to go for a while. He looks good moving around. He looks good throwing the football. So I don't think that's going to be an issue for him.
Go ahead.
Steve on Twitter, guys, real quick, one last one. What are you guys expecting tomorrow from the OTA? What are the expectations? I mean, what kind of realistic things do we expect to see tomorrow?
I think the realistic thing is just continued learning. There's a lot to grasp on both sides. I think you're going to see your share of mistakes. I think the defense will probably look better than the offense. It won't surprise me if these are practices with more interceptions than bigger plays from the quarterbacks. It'll be interesting to see how many of the receivers are kind of physically cleared to participate, to be involved in this. It's the numbers are kind of limited there. And just to see how well everybody is grasping everything, how well we talk about this coverage, because this team has put a lot into trying to make its secondary better, its front seven, but its back end especially better, stronger. And I think those will be the things that will pop to me, especially just given the nature of this defense and how challenging it is. It'll challenge the offense every day in practice. I want to thank some people for their participation in the show. Dane Brugler, CBSSports.com. Great work from him. Appreciate John Mullen from CSN Chicago joining us on our Blitz report from Chicago, and Joe Stasniak from the Colts flagship station in Indianapolis, also on the Blitz with us. And again, all of those guys brought to you by OBM, Ohio Business Machines, the hotline there. Want to thank our multiple producers today. We had three of them. We had Emmett Golden. He was part of the show. We had Matt Fontana. And of course, finishing it off is Jason Gibbs. You just heard his voice to wrap it up. Our usual guy. Appreciate all his work. And also, Gerard Cherry for joining us. The three topics with the three-time Super Bowl champ. You will hear him next with Hooley and Gerard. For Nathan Zagura, I'm Vic Carucci saying we'll talk to you again tomorrow. We'll talk a lot about the OTA on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Hoo.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.